Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week once again is Greg Karam. Greg, it is Election Day. I should clarify, in the United States, this is a worldwide podcast, mostly in Sweden. So, I will give you the vote. You can vote one former Met into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Who are you picking?
It's a pretty easy question for me because the guy I like is, he's kind of like a borderline Hall of Famer. He's not quite there yet. I mean, or not yet. He's not going to make the Hall of Fame, but he wouldn't bring shame to the Hall of Fame. And that's Dwight Gooden because he was my favorite player as soon as my consciousness formed.
Came out of the ether into the sad and lonely world of being a Mets fan.
Like, my earliest memories are just like a lot of them involve Dwight Gooden and
then just crying uncontrollably for
it's very upsetting in the mid or early to mid 90s, but I don't think it's actually that outrageous. Jaws doesn't quite like him. The peak is not up to that standard, and the the 7 year peak isn't up to that standard either. But you look at it, his numbers go from 84 to 90, say, and he was the second best pitcher in baseball behind Clemens for a lot of years. He's got a Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, championship. You know, I think you could make a solid case for Dwight Gooden in the Hall of Fame.
He is better, at least by jaws, than a lot of pitchers that are in the Hall of Fame, but pitchers are kind of weird. I think maybe the two most interesting comps here is he's better than Dizzy Dean, who's sort of like the, even more than Koufax, like the peak argument guy. And he's also almost indistinguishable from Whitey Ford, who is a slam dunk Hall of Famer, certainly.
Right.
I mean, Ford had the advantage of being a very good postseason pitcher as well, which does matter, I think. But still, it's not outlandish for the purposes of this exercise. And really, by the jaws metric, Gooden, I'm not saying this is the be all and end all, but it's sort of a good way to take, in broad strokes at least. Gooden is 46.1 is his jaws score, and Sandy Koufax is 47.5, so there's not a ton between them. Though again, Koufax's peak is,
yeah, it depends on how you want to like it.
It's all where you want to draw the line for how many years actually constitutes a peak. Jay Jaffe draws it at 7, and I've talked to him on a couple other occasions about sort of why he drew it there, and he said there's not a huge difference if you go 6 or 8 or 5, but I think if you took a 5 year peak, Gooden, I don't think would get over the line, but it would certainly be more, we are closer candidates to that, sort of that jaws cutoff.
Yeah.
I mean, his 84 and 85 were just
ridiculous.
Otherworldly.
85 is one of the best seasons, in baseball history, pretty much.
I think you can make the case, certainly for a pitcher. In the modern era, I think once you go back to old Hoss Radburn and whatnot, how much value you're getting out of that. But
no,
I mean, it was a great season, don't get me wrong. I am realizing this whole, in hindsight, I sort of did this because it was Election Day, but this is kind of anti-democratic because I'm just sort of giving you fiat rather than actual democracy. But I'm reminded of a famous Alexander Hamilton quote, which I think applies to the BBWAA, which is, "Your people, sir, are nothing but a great beast." So I'm okay with this. And my other option was pick a Mets player to be governors. And I know both our states have governor races tonight, but that's I don't want to break the no politics rule. So we're going to stick with the Hall of Fame. As for me, I do my yearly rant about how Edgardo Alfonso is not on the ballot, so I'm very tempted just to put Alfonso in. Let's get him in the Mets Hall of Fame first. I kind of hope he goes in this year. Also tempted, Ray Ordonez. Just to put
Oh,
him
okay.
in, and then under his plaque is just the Ballad of Ray Ordonez by the Isotopes on constant loop in the big plaque room. But I think
Just
longtime listeners, this podcast will probably know my answer, and it's John Olerud.
yeah.
And there's a couple of things. I mean, he's again, he falls short at the first base draws metric, but he's a totally legitimate candidate. He would not, I don't think he makes the Hall any worse by his presence. He's not dragging down the standard appreciably.
Right.
And the best thing, of course, is we'll have the first, at least in my mind, the first plaque with a batting helmet on it instead of a baseball cap,
Yeah.
which would be great, even if he probably goes in as a Blue Jay, which is fine.
It's okay.
It is.
Not going in as a Met, that's for sure.
No. Even though he has, I think, three of the top four on base percentage seasons in Met history, and he was on the team for 3 years.
Yeah.
He has one of the, I mean, his 90, I want to say his 98 season,
Yep.
arguably the best position player season in Mets history, certainly in the top three.
354, 447, 551.
I mean, even in 1998, which is like ground zero for the high offense era,
Yeah.
that's pretty fucking good.
12th in the MVP voting.
Yeah, well, some things never change. I mean, the Mets is another thing where the Mets, I mean, I don't think he probably beats out Sosa or Maguire anyway, but the Mets sort of collapsed down the stretch there, didn't help.
Probably not.
This is episode 92. Again, something that I'm sure comes as no shock to our listeners. This is the worst podcast money can buy edition. Of course, referencing the famous Bob Clappish and John Harper book about the 92 Mets. But I didn't spend any money on the podcast this week. I just spent money on the ingredients for this week's podcast cocktail. I think it's the last warm day of the year here in Connecticut. So I went with a summery cocktail, and I had some gin to get rid of. I went with a Dale DeGroff classic, the famous New York bartender, with the Fitzgerald, which is basically just a gin sour with bitters, but it's awesome.
Sounds delicious.
It's refreshing. So the agenda for episode 92. We'll officially kick off the off season. I should ring a bell like it's a stock exchange or something.
Oh, please.
It's hot stove ho from here on out. So we'll kick that off with a look at sort of the early business. The Mets made some 40-man moves this past week, and teams offered qualifying offers to potential free agents, $15.3 million this year. And we'll especially look at how that might affect the Mets' pursuit of Michael Kadire, who is reportedly on their radar. And we'll get more in depth on the team's offseason plans in a bit with Mark Krigh of Newsday. And I'm hoping also with Mark to get to the bottom of this whole beat writer Kansas City barbecue obsession as well. That might be line one on our agenda, actually.
I think the answer to that is pretty straightforward,
I
is
mean,
that it's about
I had nothing
talking
against
food.
Kansas City barbecue, and obviously, let's not kid ourselves, baseball writers like to eat. But I mean, I'm a Carolina guy myself. I have nothing against Kansas City barbecue, certainly. But it's a little, I don't know, a little over the top for me, even by beat writer standards.
All right.
So we'll get to the bottom of that. We'll talk about the Mets' offseason plans. And we'll continue our prospect talk we've been doing the last month or so with a discussion of what I'm calling our guys, which is a guy either Greg or I will have on our top personal top 25 list that we don't think anybody else will of the group. And of course, we'll wrap things up with your emails. So let's kick things off for the worst podcast money can buy edition. You can email Eric Simon with any requests for refunds. Look at the early offseason business in the Mets 40-man roster. So there's a little bit of sort of rosterbation or 40-man bureaucracy this week.